Our scripture reading today can be found on page 69 in your pew Bible if you want to follow along. This scripture is the Transfiguration in Luke 9, verses 28 to 36. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his countenance was altered, and his raiment became dazzling white. And behold, two men talked with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they wakened, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is well that we are here. Let us make three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he said this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silence and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day the Lord hath made. Let us pray, please. Lord of all, thank you for using me in your ministry. Thank you for guiding me thus far and granting me your grace. Even now, Lord, you know the purpose for which I have come to you. Today, Lord, fill me with the same grace, anointing, and power so that I can preach your word boldly and with authority. It is your authority and not mine. Amen. There's a loud knock on the door at the Johnson house. It's 2 a.m. The Johnson family is deep in sleep. Fear and concern hit Martha and Peter Johnson as they make their way down to the front door from their bedroom. They flip on the front light, and what do they see? Peter's distant cousin standing there with baggage in hand. Martha asks Peter, why are these folks here at this late hour and in the middle of the night? What do they want? Do you know these folks were coming? Maybe this family just wanted to take an opportunity for a brief reunion visit. What? Why are they here? Put yourself in the place of the Johnson shoes for a moment. Imagine this is happening to us. Do we reject being involved with their kind of situation because it may upset us, upset our day-to-day routine, disturb our sleep, feel fear, or are we imposed upon? Yes, we do. All of the above. Maybe we should just send them away to seek shelter elsewhere, or maybe we realize our response reveals our heart's lack of being open to seek the understanding of why these unexpected visitors are here in the first place. It is God's blessing to offer hospitality, and we may lose sight that the offering of hospitality is what we as Christians must do, as God teaches us to do throughout Scripture. After the dust of surprise and emotion settles, the Johnsons take the time to listen to the distant family of why they came to their home. The visiting family is out of work and money, emotionally and spiritually depleted. They need a brief, temporary place to stay, to be lifted up and to be encouraged. After losing their homes due to unemployment, the need for a resting place and a time out to again connect with the love of the Spirit is needed to look forward to the future for a new beginning. What are the Johnsons to do? Why did the visitors chose to seek the Johnsons for help in the first place? More later. The love of God and Christ is to enjoy our neighbors in need and surround them with love. The situational story may rarely happen to us and is seemingly far-fetched, but biblical times it happened frequently. Not too long ago, many of us attended an adult Sunday school class taught by Pastor Stephen on spiritual disciplines. The class was based on a book by Richard J. Foster, Celebration of Discipline, and Foster notes, "There is the service of hospitality. There is a desperate need today for Christians who will to open up their homes to one another." Just as 1 Peter urges us to practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. Yes, this is a service that our God desires us to do. It may be a planned event, it may be a time of fellowship over a shared meal, and it may be unexpected. There are numerous Greek and Hebrew words for hospitality in the Bible, but in the New Testament, one of the Greek words is philoxia, which means the love of strangers. The root is philo, a friend. This word speaks to brotherly love, a foundation for the way hospitality works. In Luke 10, hospitality flows out of the wholehearted devotion to God. Now, as they went on their way to Jerusalem, that's Jesus and the disciples, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. In this scene, Mary and Martha, her sister, both served the unannounced Jesus and the disciples with hospitality at the drop of a hat. But there's a twist to the story. As Mary is spending time with Jesus, Martha is distracted by the many tasks to prepare the meal. She asks Jesus in frustration, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." Jesus responds to Martha in a seemingly less than empathetic way and appears to be chiding her for her distraction and worry. Jesus praises Mary. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is a need for one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The problem with Martha is not how she is serving, but Jesus sees that she is worried and distracted. Martha's distraction and worry overshadowed the most important aspect of hospitality, gracious attention to the guest. In fact, she breaks the ancient tradition of hospitality by trying to embarrass her sister in front of her guest by asking her guest to intervene in a family dispute. She even accuses Jesus of not caring about her. Jesus' words to Martha should be viewed as invitation rather than chastisement. The invitation from Jesus is for Martha to receive the gracious presence of him, to listen to his words, to know that she is valued not for what she does or how well she does it, but for who she is as a beloved child of God. Jesus has turned the tables by demonstrating that the biblical grounding of graciousness, that is showing kindness, and hospitality work hand in hand. How many of us from time to time, like Martha, feel that we're out of the spotlight of hospitality and are not recognized as the host? Who is the host for hospitality? Yes, the Master Jesus. Our general notion is that hospitality somehow seems to include or to focus on a meal. Sharing a meal is important, but hospitality is not a Martha Stewart moment. Hospitality may include food and decor, but not the top priority. The paramount of biblical hospitality is demonstration of love. It's fellowship, concern, and connecting to those in our midst who seek the love of God and at times ask us for help. It is support for those in our midst for a need. It is to bless those to whom we are ministering as our guests. Hospitality also includes our openness to the blessing we may receive from our guests as much as the blessing we give, for God knows all of our hidden needs. It doesn't get better than this in the sight of the Lord. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers." When God's children are in need, we should be willing to help them. Hospitality is a gift that emanates not only from our spiritual hearts, but with the favor of God. Let's look again at the transfiguration scripture for today. There's a moment when Peter extends hospitality to Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Many biblical commentators question Peter for being clueless about the offering of dwellings to the glorified three. There's another twist to the story that Peter had in mind. The story says, "Now Peter and his companions were weighted down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his, Jesus's, glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make three dwellings, three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" Peter, James, and John were weighted down with sleep, but Peter had the wherewithal to offer shelter for those glorified. The three dwellings proposed by Peter were to honor each individual heavenly figure and commemorate what God had done in bringing about this marvelous manifestation of glory. Peter was naturally drawn to offer hospitality, for hospitality is about honoring Jesus' presence. Hospitality helps us to know what kind of Messiah Jesus is and the warm riches of his glory. Moments of hospitality and commemoration as times of blessings, honor, and to glorify God. Peter reaches into traditional history. He sees the ancient motif and lives it out. Peter draws on an analogy to the commemorative role of the tents of the Feast of Tabernacles, where the Israelites dwelt during their 40 years of travel in the desert after the Exodus from Egypt. It's a Hebrew remembrance and commemoration of the provision of God for the Israelites in the desert after those 40 years of wandering. Peter also wanted to provide fitting location for the three prophetic figures to continue their glorious appearance for places of divine communication, analogous to the tent of meeting, which was a portable dwelling place for divine presence during the Exodus. He simply wanted to furnish earthly, appropriate, hospitable habitations for their sojourn, similar to the habitations that Abraham, the patriarchs, and all the righteous enjoyed in heaven. Peter is honoring all three in hopes of extending the conversation that prolonged a moment in this epiphany, but the tents would only be temporary if they were to be occupied at all. Moses, Elijah, and Jesus are glorified together for a brief moment. A cloud covers Moses and Elijah, and they return to heaven. Jesus was left alone in his pre-transfigured state with God proclaiming Jesus as God's true son. It was a fleeting moment of offering hospitality, but Peter made a point to offer it from the understanding of his Hebrew tradition. The tradition of loving-kind hospitality holds firm as the heart of our connected Judeo-Christian belief today. In ancient Israel, hospitality is not merely a question of manners, but moral obligation growing out of the harsh desert and nomadic experience led by the people of Israel. The biblical customs of welcoming the weary traveler and of receiving the stranger in one's midst is the model out of which hospitality and all its contributing aspects developed into a highly esteemed virtue in Jewish tradition. It is important to welcome strangers in a strange land. As referenced in Leviticus 19, the alien who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you, and you shall love the alien as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. This may very well have also been in the back of Peter's mind when he offered dwellings for the glorified three. There are times when we need hospitality, especially when we feel like strangers in a strange land. In the early 80s, our family was offered an opportunity for transfer to the headquarters of my Silicon Valley company in California as a career advancement. We accepted the transfer, and in a matter of a little over 2 weeks, we sold our home in New Jersey, purchased a home in California, and moved lock, stock, and barrel cross country. Yes, we felt like strangers in a strange land. We left our relatives behind and needed to develop a relationship with our local and worship community. We became members of Centerville Presbyterian Church in Fremont, California, And the congregation welcomed us with open arms, and several families opened up their homes to us for hospitality. These relationships grew over time. We keep in touch with many of our San Francisco Bay Area friends. We also visit each other from time to time. Yes, Peter's words ring true, to practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another. And these loving, kind, hospitable moments of personal and spiritual connections will always be a treasure in our lives as we welcome our welcoming and ongoing gift from God. So what did the Johnson family do in our opening story when the unexpected visitors arrived, unannounced? Because they were heartfelt and devout believers and set aside their weariness, they took the visitors in, fully realizing their hospitality was the last hope. Casting aside the thought of inconvenience and honoring them with hospitality like Peter during the transfiguration of Jesus. Hospitality and honoring our unexpected guests is a key virtue in a way we share our Christian faith and fellowship. It reveals something good in our hearts, honoring the presence of guests like we honor the presence of God. These sojourners may be looking for a temporary respite and spiritual uplifting on a continuing journey. Most of us do not wish to be interrupted from our day-to-day routines, especially in the wee hours of the morning. We need to offer dwelling, refreshment, rest, and hospitality for unexpected visitors. It doesn't matter their social status, ethnicity, sexual orientation, or their relationship to us. We should always be prepared to have that extra room ready. Can we imagine Jesus knocking on the door at 2 a.m.? How would we handle hospitality for the Master and the disciples if suddenly they appeared on our doorstep? We should honor with hospitality other children of God who come unannounced as if they were like Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, just like Peter had done. The ending verses of our scripture for today is, when the voice, that is God's voice, had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they, the three disciples, kept silent in those days and told no one any of the things they had seen. Hospitality also includes intimacy and respect for what is said and seen amongst us, which are kept close to us as respect for guests. As they pour out their hearts to us about their needs, of why they perhaps are there in the first place. Great hosts of hospitality are also loving, kind, and are willing to humbly honor the guests. I believe the Holy Spirit in our lives is in all of our lives, that we will continue to be transformed by the Spirit as we love and honor those who need fellowship, to respect and welcome those who are different than us, and to embrace hospitality in the true meaning of what God intends it to be. It is indeed the proper response that God expects from us. It is what Jesus demonstrated to us, love, joy, and inclusiveness as a community of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord of all, thank you for guiding us with your word, your son, for this message. May we always know that Jesus is with us when we gather in fellowship and hospitality, which makes our loving, kind community inclusive and possible. Amen.